Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had a packed weekend, and this was our series of assignments. Imagine the ideal you. How does she/he look? Record and listen. Then on Saturday, what are his/her qualities? On Sunday, how is she/he different from you?
Wow.
And that here's our first caller.
That is action-packed, isn't it?
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area, and I'm very happy to be here. Well, happy to have you here. Happy to be here as well. And what did you see on this action-packed weekend?
Well, I just had the most amazing experience, and this is what I love about awareness practice, that it's full of surprises. I wanted to talk about the qualities I saw in the person who I wanted to become. I can't quite remember the wording. So I started writing and looking at all these wonderful qualities, and then I realized, it just hit me like a ton of bricks while I was writing this, that it was a setup by self-hate to say that I wasn't like that.
Ooh.
And then what I really got was that really, if I was going to look at, you know, what are the qualities of the person I admire, or if what dropped in was, I want to know that I am absolutely loved and embraced by the universe, and there is nothing wrong. That it's not about doing, it's about living from that place.
So in another retreat that I'm involved in, we are, I was trying to think of how you'd say it, but we're sort of studying. We do books, right? And,
yep.
And then we apply them to our lives, and we're doing Epictetus. And
I'm reading that book. I got it. I'm reading it.
Oh, fabulous. Well, every Sunday evening, we're doing our process on this, so let me know if you want to join us.
Okay.
So you remember the first line it said, or not the first, but toward the front, like decide what you want to be, then do what you need to do. And I thought that's the relationship, right? What we do needs to serve what we choose to be.
Yeah.
And if what we're doing doesn't serve what we want to be, then we're not listening to the right coach. Right? We're not following life. We're following something else, which I think is what you're pointing at.
That is so perfect, Sherry, because new words for what I saw was, What conditioning says is you need to do these things in order to be who you want to be.
Exactly.
But no, it's totally the opposite. I need to be who I want to be. And it's kind of like, what is that quote? Love God and do what you will, for it will be only good. That's not the right. Is that there's something at the beginning.
Says it. If you first love God, then doing what you will be serving God.
Yes. Well, I was so grateful because in the process of doing this exercise, I could see I was being set up. I mean, I just saw it immediately, and I just went to, no, how do I want to be? What I do is, I mean, you know, you got to put this in quotes, is irrelevant because it's not the priority. Like you're pointing at, that will follow from prioritizing how I want to be.
Yes, and so with what you've got to, what I want to do is be loving. What I want to do is choose the unconditional. What I want to do is remember there's nothing wrong.
Yes. Yes, because
that's something.
Yes, I'm just so grateful. And because the other thing that happens is, of course, you have to be somebody. You have to will be something in the sense of you have to accomplish something. You have to stand mm-hmm. out, which is all personality and all ego. And in the place of what I want to do or be is love and come from a place of there's nothing wrong, there's no personality in that.
Yes, yes. Well, and again, since we're both reading the lovely Epictetus, so his point, the first little vignette, is knowing what we can control and what we can't control, right? And so
all of
the things that you laid out as priorities for you are, in quotes, within your control, because you're the one who gets to make the choice about these. Status, how other people feel about you, who you are in the world, what you accomplished. We don't have any control over any of those kinds of things. And if we focus on that, we're just going to get really miserable because we're just trying to push that big rock up a hill and there's no point.
Yes. Yes. And feel less than and feel like there's something wrong. It's a total setup.
Yes. It's a total setup. Yep. Great. Catch.
Yes, thank you to everybody. It's just an amazing year-long retreat. I love it.
Me too. Thank you, Anne.
Okay, go happy.
Go happy.
It's just wonderful when structures reveal themselves to make sense of what is going on for us, doesn't it,
mm-hmm.
Sherry? And what
mm-hmm.
I mean by that is it's the dichotomy between what I want to be and what I want to do is something we never see and is the reason for the leak of the energy, because we're doing something that is in contradiction to how we want to be. So the example that you gave was so beautiful. If I want to know that there's nothing wrong, then I'd never listen to a voice of self-hate, which is always a negation of what is. It's always
mm-hmm.
something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It really very clearly points to the doing that is related to the being, the process that
mm-hmm.
leads to the same, to the outcome,
mm-hmm.
is built into the clarity of what I want to be or what I choose to be.
Yeah. 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 It just turns the whole thing on its head. And that, that quote that got, it became a cliche because everybody could relate to it. We are human beings, not human doings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, yes, that catches our attention, but it really can throw us, as Anne was noticing, it can really throw us into the wrong track, because it's not that we don't want to do. We're constantly talking in practice about showing up and participating and, Gandhi's be the difference that you want to see in the world and all of those that are obviously doing. But it's where it comes from that makes all the difference. Are we participating from life or participating from ego?
And this is where your teacher would say, it's not what, but how.
That's exactly. God love him. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen in Rhinebeck, New York.
Hello, Jen.
Hey, Jen. Hello. Well, I saw something interesting when I went back through and sort of listened to all of it. Like I made, just one recording for all of these that are kind of the same, within the same group of assignments kind of.
Uh-huh.
And what I saw was that this kind of sense that, I'm almost the right person.
Mm.
It's like
you just need
so
a
close.
Little self-improvement.
Yes. Because I when I'm listening to it, it's kind of like, I'm kind of, I heard all of the, conditioning's ideas of what I look like, that, what needs to be better, what needs to be improved, like, and then who I really think I am. And it's like, well, they're not actually that far apart.
mm-hmm.
And then I get to the, this may be today's actually, so I might be jumping ahead a little bit. I get a little off off kilter with the time difference. Exactly.
That's right. We get excited. We can be forgiven for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like the only thing that needs to change here is to just drop any expectation. You know, it's like, so if one of the examples was, I'm generous. I wish I were more generous. You know, like the ideal person is like really kind and generous and whatever. And if I leave that as somehow I've not met that whatever standard is required to be considered generous, then I never get to recognize the times that I'm generous. You know,
yes.
The fact that I am.
Yes. I remember somebody telling me about being at the gym, working out, and hearing a voice that says, you know, I really should exercise more.
And
it's just what you're pointing at. It's like, no, I'm doing that now.
I'm at the gym.
Yeah. And if we don't see that, then it really is a major bamboozle. Because as you said, the assumption is I'm not. So it just holds up this vague standard of kind and generous people. You know, we don't know who they are, where they are, how they're doing that. But we just know it's more than you are. And so you get to be kind and generous and feel bad.
Yeah. Or I will encounter somebody who is not kind and generous in a moment, and in the conversation will go kind of like, well, we are not that bad.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing we're not that mean. You're much kinder than that. You know, you're still not as kind as this person over here who's always so nice. And so it's really
this person that I don't live with, right? This person who is able to appear is when they're with me to be the perfection of these traits. It's such a scam, isn't it?
It's a total scam. And just like such that recognition of like, I already am all of these things that it says I'm not, you know?
Yes.
And even the quote unquote bad things, it's like, of course I've had moments when I'm not kind, you know?
Yes.
Of course. It's just how it is. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Why are we talking about it in this moment when I'm actually experiencing kindness? Oh, I
That's
see.
Right.
I get it. Yeah. All right. We're not having that conversation anymore. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You're on to it. Thank
I'm
you,
on
Jan.
To it. All right. Thank you both. Go happy.
Okay. Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. We just have to drop the self and there's nothing to improve.
Exactly. It's only that ego that claims a desire for improvement, which it does not want and is never going to happen. We drop that whole thing, no problem.
Yes, it's like it's almost as if the ego is a way to it's sort of like what Einstein says, optical delusion of consciousness that can only see flaws in something that is not flawed.
Uh-huh.
So it's only the seeing that you have to drop. The flaw doesn't exist.
Uh-huh. An optical delusion. Isn't that it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we look through the eyes of ego. We see flaws. And we're meant to believe they're ours, and then we need to do something about them, and the whole thing is delusional, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's so hard to see from within the delusion, but that's what we do in awareness practice is disidentify.
Yeah. Recognize it for what it is. Yeah.
Okay, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, this is Sharon back in Barbados.
Well, Sharon, home safe and sound all the way all the way there. Good, good.
Yeah, except that a hurricane may be heading toward us. That's the only thing. But we're hoping it will veer north. So,
we're going to hope right along with you, okay?
Yes,
so
thank
we'll
you for that.
Add that to our list of hurricane guidance.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Well, the retreat was amazing, really amazing.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I really felt like when I was there, I was in a different paradigm. And and then coming home, you know, there's always a little bit of a difficult transition. Nevertheless, I think that I have maintained a good share of it, and just glad for it. This particular assignment, I really have enjoyed the conversation so far about being able to really extract ego from, you know, from the process. And because for me, even at the retreat, you know, I was telling my coach today that I felt I was really present, and yet I was so tired afterwards. And so what we came up with, that there was a lot of trying hard to be present. She pointed out to me, you don't have to try hard to be present. You just relax. And when you're present, you're present, you know. And
well, and Sharon, may I at this juncture offer another possibility? That the tired might have been ego expressing its exhaustion at having to be observed for that period of time, to be under scrutiny. So if you can be talked into that you're tired, that could also be a process of ego sucking the energy of the retreat out of you.
Well, when you say under scrutiny, what do you mean?
Well, most of the time, ego is steering the ship, right?
Sure.
We're in that conversation, and it's telling us how things are and what's going on and who we are and what we need to do and how we could have done it better and all of that sort of thing.
Right.
When you're on retreat, the focus of attention shifts to observing rather than just getting lulled into. So you're observing what ego does to you rather than identifying with it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's really hard on ego, really hard. And so it's going to make every case it can for how difficult this is. I mean, you're exhausted. Now, how often would you want to do that, Sharon, if you come out of this so exhausted and just so, yeah? It turns all of that energy that you have on the retreat into something that it can gobble up and then point to that process as a negative.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want that to happen because it certainly wasn't. It was an amazing experience.
Yes.
And in terms of my...
Well, I'm going to suggest just one more thing. And
sure.
That is that you don't believe any of that exhaustion thing, and you just turn your attention back to the energy that you had while you were on retreat, and you'll have it back.
Okay. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, just that I think for my practice, going on retreat was a real boost, you know.
Yes.
And I would really recommend it. And I was really surprised to come across a few individuals who had done it more than once. I hadn't even thought of that. So, and you know, just that enthusiasm is really fabulous. And they, and both having said that it was an even deeper experience, and with each one, they got even more. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, yes, there are people who, because of the way we do this, it's launched at New Year's. Right, so there are people who come to the New Year's retreat, and then they kind of follow the retreat around the country. And just make that the focus of the year to deepen. So with this one, strong emotion, you know, that's something most people are dealing with all the time. So so there's the learned, the you know, you grasp the concepts and you see what goes on, and then you go out into the world and you apply what you've learned and you see so much more. And so when you come back to the retreat, your experience is just that much deeper because you've brought that level of conscious awareness to your daily life for X number of months. And so, yeah, it's a powerful, powerful way to do it.
Yeah, it would be, because when you then you do leave, and it's really great, but you go home and it kind of starts slipping away. So going
right.
back would really help to revive it and really see to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to see your daily life as sort of homework. So it's like you're doing some sort of course, and you go, you have an immersion week, and then you go back into your daily life, and you're doing homework in the sense that you're applying all these concepts to your daily life. So it doesn't slip away. You're really keeping it in the front of your conscious awareness, because you know you're going to come back again and do more coursework, and you want to have all your homework done in preparation for that.
Right, and having Ashwini's recap at the end, and I have it recorded, I've already listened to it once, and that is really great to have. So that's
yeah.
a nice part of it.
Tremendous support, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much. And thanks,
Sharon, one other thing before I let you go. I mentioned this at the end of the retreat. I don't know if you've had a chance to read Ashwini's Musings article for
no,
this
I haven't
month.
Yet. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you listen to that recap and listen and read the Musings article, and of course I always encourage people to record everything so that we can then listen to it again, but you're going to see just amazing tie-togethers in those
oh,
in those two things. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
Keep
I
having
look forward
fun,
to that.
Huh?
Okay, will do. Thanks so much. Right. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Sharon.
All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Sharon.
Okay, bye.
Sherry, we might be able to squeeze in two more callers. So here we go.
Woo.
Let's get our next caller live on the air.
We'll go.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
That's Susan. Hello.
Who is it?
Susan.
Calling
from Ventura.
Oh, Susan in Southern California.
Yes. Susan at the beach. The word you hear is the beach.
Susan at the beach. All right.
what
do you
see? Oh, you know, the part that was most interesting to me was what was the difference between my ideal self and my real self?
Mm-hmm.
It was like the hounds of hell were released. You know, mostly what I heard is the tone of my voice that came out was so angry and blaming and judgmental. It was like, and there were a lot of words like always, never, should. You know, and what I realized, the difference is perfection. My ideal self is perfect. She always, she never. And me, who...
Yeah.
Really? It was
oh,
only a
yeah.
matter of gradation.
I hear you. Yeah. She's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked back over the qualities that I'd written down. I thought, oh, I do that sometimes. Yeah, occasionally, most of the time, but not
mm-hmm.
always do I do that.
Mm.
So... Oh,
and Susan, in that alternate reality that ego is
right.
positing, right, each moment would have to extend to several hours for you to be all of the things and behave in all of the, say all of and do all of what you should do in order to be this imaginary perfect human being.
Right.
Can you get a sense of that?
Well, yeah, and nothing would ever be in conflict in terms of time and energy. That was the other thing. Everything would line up. And
yes.
by the way, it would all be external. Like all that compassion, it would be out there. All that
yes.
patience, it would be directed to some, you know, it was all outside
yes.
of me. It,
yes.
And
you
and
would be
voice.
Doing all of that at the same time. You know, where we see this acted out in life is, for ego, you should, certainly you should exercise every day, whatever that
mm-hmm.
is. You should go to the gym, or you should go for a run, or you should do yoga, or whatever it is. And you should, of course, work many hours out of the day. You should take great care of your family. You should be in touch with all of your family and friends all the time. You should cook delicious, nutritious meals. You should keep a beautiful home. You should always look perfect. You should, right? And by the time
ego puts those standards on us for any given day, and then it reviews our performance and points out the things that we did not do or did not do well. You know, at the end of the day, a week, a month, a year, or whatever, that person just wants to give up because it's not possible. And that's the point to get. It's not possible.
Yeah, and it's back to that exercise around conflicting beliefs. It's like, I should take risks, I should take on challenges, stretch myself, improve, and also be calm, relaxed, rested, and just be. So,
exactly.
You know, there's no way to do them all the time. And you're right, I expect that I should be able to, well, to be and to do at the same time and show up.
Yeah. To meet that set of ludicrous standards that is being put forth by something that does not live in this world, does not have a body, does not do anything, just hammers at people about what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't go to the front of the infantry and charge into battle. It's in the back with a megaphone. And the other thing I realized, it was sort of like, who's talking here? Because whoever's talking is really angry. You know, and I think when you were talking, there's a piece of me, but I think ego too, it's just like, no, this is crazy. And you have this judgment set.
And this is where we, of course, offer the tool of the two-handed recording. Because that person who has been driven for a lifetime and never appreciated, never done enough, just criticized, is rightfully ticked, right? And so at this point, we need to start a program of making that up to the human being. Really getting into gratitude and appreciation, and then let that spill over to all of our fellow critters who have been living in the same kind of hateful circumstances.
I can feel that. I can hear that. Because even when you said that, I thought, if I was to do a 200 recording on that one piece, what I would say is, you sound really angry. And under that, I could feel like sadness and discouragement,
but
you know what I mean?
Right. Yes, I do. And the trick of it, of course, is to really let those people talk. Not talk about their experience, but really put that device in her hand and let her rail about how unfair it is and how unjust it is and how hard she works and all of those kinds of things. And then, yes, you're going to get to somebody underneath that who's really, really sad.
Yeah, it's like that. What do they call that? The Stockholm syndrome, where you've been kidnapped, but you identify with the kidnapper. That's what it feels like.
Yes, we identify with the abuser, absolutely. But somebody didn't, right? Because we're all sitting here talking about it, or
standing
here, or wherever we are talking about it. Yeah. So we know.
Okay.
We know what is true.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to
enjoy
try
the
that.
Beach.
Oh, I am. I'm getting in the water in just a minute.
All right, good.
Okay.
All right, thank you,
Thanks,
Susan.
Sherry. Thank you, Winnie.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Susan. I love it. You're on the beach listening to the radio show.
Yes, and participating and looking at all these things. Yeah.
Yeah, I just love it. It's practice everywhere. Yes.
Practice everywhere. Exactly.
All right, so that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And our assignment for today is, what would you have to give up to be the ideal you? Record and listen.
What would you have to give up to be the ideal you? Wow. It's deep in a lot of directions, isn't it?
Very.
Right. Can't wait to hear. Thank you, Ashwini. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry.
Treasure yourself.